This is Inner Healing Paths podcast. Here we discuss the healing of the mind, body, soul, and spirit through a variety of different paths. We have emotional and spiritually minded conversations centering on ancestral healing, psychology, astrology, yoga, meditation, magic, and indigenous spiritual practices of the world. I am your host, Rosa Shetty, and I am so happy you are here. Welcome.
Welcome, Mireille, to the podcast.
Thank you, Rosa. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course, of course. So glad that we were able to find a time to meet and connect. And it's been lovely seeing your account and getting to know you through Instagram. And now, you know, talking for the first time.
Yeah, it's so exciting to actually put a face to a IG platform. It's always
exactly.
So exciting. I love it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself and the healing work that you do.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you. I'm super grateful that you invited me to your podcast. And well, my name is Maideli Mendoza. I am an undocumented warrior turned conscious entrepreneur. The healing work that I currently do is I am a transformational conscious coach. And through my experiences of being undocumented for, you know, 30 plus years, and really the healing journey brought me to the work that I do today, self-discovery, understanding self-love at a deeper level. I am the face behind Revolution Through Self-Love, Healing Through Self-Love, Raw Love by May. So if you can, as you can tell, there's a common denominator, which is love. And I do truly believe that love heals the world. Love has the medicine to transform any darkness that could be out there, out in the world, within yourself, and transform it and really turn it into something very beautiful, which I believe everybody has medicine. Everybody has beauty. It sometimes we just are so busy and we're so caught up in the day-to-day busyness and chaos around us that we can't really tap into our inner selves. So that's a little bit about who I am. I am also a Bars of Consciousness practitioner. That is a healing modality that I use with my clients on a one-on-one basis. It's really 32 points in your head where, you know, I do a light touch and there's like this connection back to self, and it really dismantles systems of beliefs, limited beliefs, the ideas that you've bought into, and really transforms your life. But in the past, I've done Reiki. I'm a EFT practitioner, meditation, breathwork, anything you can think of, I've done, as well as water educator, which is why I call myself a conscious entrepreneur.
Well, thank you for that. And I want to start off with just, you know, tell us a little bit about how you found this path of healing through energy, through all these different modalities that you use. How did you find yourself there, and how did it all get started for you?
Well, thank you for asking, because I was just thinking about that yesterday. It started back in 2006. I was about to turn 19. I was 19 at the time, and I was going through a lot of hardship, as you can just imagine, right? Being undocumented, just moving from Utah. So my parents live in Utah. We had lived there since I was 10. And then I moved back at 17 to pursue higher education, because at the time, I couldn't really go to school in Utah. So I decided to venture out and, you know, go to school in California, which I eventually ended up attending East LA College back in 2004. But by 2006, my health was deteriorating in a very rapid pace. I was very sad. I was very depressed. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just knew that everything hurt. My soul, my hair, my living hurt. And I tell you this because the first time I met with a psychologist, an older white female, which obviously I could not relate to whatsoever, but I was used to because I grew up in Utah. So I was comfortable in that scenario. But she couldn't understand why I was so sad. But I had just found out that I was undocumented. Not that I had just found out. I knew that I was undocumented. I just didn't know what it meant for me. Because I think I lived very obliviously to what it meant in real life, right? Because you're sheltered when you're a child, you're sheltered from the world. And then you go out in the real world and you realize, wow, these things are important. This 9-digit number is important. You know, not being able to work and having a work permit is extremely important. And so after meeting with several therapists, psychologists, they determined that I had clinical depression. And they subscribed medication, but unfortunately, I wasn't able to get any medication. One, I didn't have the money to do it. Two, I didn't have the resources. I didn't know. I was by myself in California. I didn't want to take something that I didn't know what was going to be the side effect. Then I was dealing with a lot of other health issues that I didn't know if it was going to be like counterintuitive. So I, you know, sat with myself, and I always say that I have a very deep connection with higher self, with source, with God, because I remember sitting and asking God, send me something. I know this is not the way. And like I said, I respect people that take medication. It's just, it wasn't the path for me. I knew that it wasn't for me. I was already taking a lot of other medications for my health condition. So at the time I had a friend that invited me to this temple, and it was in Pacific Palisades, the Self-Realization Fellowship. It's a beautiful garden. It's a beautiful place. And she said, come with me. My cousin goes there and she meditates there, and I think he'll help you. And I thought she was kind of cuckoo. And I was like, meditation, I don't know what that is. I don't know what you're talking about. And granted, this was before this whole thing was popular, right? Back in 2006, none of this was mainstream. And so, or at least I didn't know about it, not in my community, at least. And so I go and I see everybody very happy and at peace. That peace that you can tell when you look at someone, that you just want to hug them because they have so much light and so much. And I was really upset because I associated that to two things. One, they were white. And two, they had money. And so I'm like, well, of course they're happy. They have money. Of course, they don't have my struggles. Of course they're going to be super smiley and hugging everybody. But that's not my reality. That's not what I'm living. I'm living struggle. And now I understand that it was this idea that I had bought into, that I had aligned to, of the suffering and my ancestors and all the things that they went through. And so from there, I realized that I wanted to meditate. I knew that I wanted to become vegan. I knew that I wanted to live a different lifestyle than my parents, that people around me lived. Because if these people were doing something like eating healthy and meditating and living a high vibrational life, that, and it was working for them, then I wanted to do the same thing. Because going back and looking at my family and my friends and my relatives, they weren't living a successful life. So I didn't want to repeat that. So let's break the pattern. Let's do something different. So that's really how it all started. And then one thing led to another: meditation, yoga, tapping, colonics, water, vitamins, high vibrational food, and then everything else that followed, which was my businesses.
Oh, I love that story. And there's so many things that you shared that I can connect to. Just a Self-Realization Fellowship, meditation, yoga, that was also my doorway into spirituality or into the spirit world. I grew up with church and religion, yeah, all my life, but I didn't have that spiritual awakening or connection, and it didn't happen until I was introduced to yoga. So I love how you framed it in terms of, if this is working for them, if it, then I want that, right? Because this is the way I was, the way I've been living, the way my family has been living is not working.
Yeah.
And you were so, I mean, how old were you? It sounds like you were super young.
Yeah. So at that time, when I was introduced or I had my awakening, I was 19. And by that time, yeah, I had already spent 2 years by myself. And at 17, I forgot to mention the reason why I moved from Utah, aside from the fact that obviously I wanted to pursue higher education, it was because I knew that my family at that moment, how it was structured, wasn't healthy for me. And I knew that in order for me to be different and do different and pursue different, I needed to get out of that environment. And so, but it was challenging, right? It wasn't easy. I wish I could have been with my parents and grew up there, but I knew my soul, something in my soul told me, you can't stay, you have to go. And now that I'm looking back and I look at 17-year-olds, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what my parents were thinking, allowing me to go by myself to live in California.
Yeah, no, absolutely. When it comes to your intuition, have you always been, it sounds like you were very intuitive from very young age, you listened to that. When it comes to your intuition now, how has it evolved for you in terms of listening to that inner voice that you describe at 17, just knowing what you want and knowing what you don't want and looking for that path? So I get the sense that there was this very strong intuitive voice within you. How has that evolved?
Always, all the time. I think ever since I can remember, I had a very strong intuitive voice. My parents were adult children, really. And I was the oldest, I'm the eldest of three. And so I was kind of responsible for my sisters, but also my parents. And so my mom would always come to me and have conversations with me, like if I was her best friend. And so I didn't have anybody to go talk to. And so I learned from a very young age that God, something higher than me, was always going to be there listening to me. And through the signs and symbols throughout the day, he was going to send me people. He was going to send me messages, and he was going to send me like ways and guide, kind of like light, and light me through the way that he wants me to go. When I was around maybe 10, I started going to church, and obviously, you know, young women classes through church. And I had very strong intuition, had conversations with God all the time. But obviously when I moved to California and I started associating myself with people that didn't have that connection, they would shame me. Oh, estás loquita. You're kind of crazy. That's kind of like brujería, kind of juju. That's kind of weird. Are you sure you're okay? Are you sure you don't hear voices? Are you schizophrenic? Like, there was all these labels, and I was like, oh, and then I started second guessing myself and suppressing that voice. But then obviously through meditation and through that connection with myself, I realized that it was my intuition, my connection to source, to God, to spirit. And now I am very much more aware than I was before. I'm about to turn 37, and I feel like the connection that I have now with God is stronger than ever. When I listen, it gets stronger. When I don't listen, it's like, oh, you're not going to listen? Well, I'll let you do your thing. And when you're ready, come back and we'll get on the path again. So
I love that when we listen, right? Or when we know that discernment of what is our, for myself and for a lot of the folks that I know, sometimes it's hard to know when it's your, that higher power, your intuition or fear or your past trauma, you know, so it's, sometimes it's hard to discern. Mm-hmm. But what would you say helps you be, you know and be aware of who this voice is, where it's coming from, and to differentiate between fear and your intuition or higher power?
So two things. Number one is that when I am calm and I hear the voice, that's when I know it's my intuition. When I am in total chaos and like just not feeling good, if it doesn't feel light, it's not my intuition. If it feels heavy, it's not my intuition. If it feels light, it is. And so through bars of consciousness, through access, I learned to listen to my body. So, you know, is this heavy? Is this light? And if it's heavy, then it's definitely not my spirit. It's definitely not a source. Also, when in doubt or when I'm in chaos, what I always do is I go in and spend time in nature. I go, I walk, I have my gratitude walks, I drink water, I eat high vibrational foods, especially when I'm going through a chaotic situation or something is falling apart or something didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out or the way that I had envisioned it. That's when I go back to basics, which is drinking my water, you know, going outside, grounding myself. And from that space is when I get the most clarity.
Yeah, no, I thank you for that. I think that's going to help a lot of folks, a lot of the listeners, because it is something that I hear a lot. And, but what you described is just when it's light, right? When it feels light. And sometimes we can't tell because everything's so chaotic. And that's when nature, water, everything that you share. Thank you for that. And you mentioned bars of consciousness.
Yes.
So just want to shift gears a little bit. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Can you tell us what it is and how it works?
Yeah, of course. I know very little. I'm still learning. I was introduced to bars a year ago when I was going through a very traumatic experience. And really, it was founded by two individuals, one primarily, and it's been around for about 30, 40 years. And like I said, it's 32 points in your head that is like, if you tap lightly, you're able to dismantle limited beliefs, anything that you're aligned with, anything that is stopping you from reaching your higher consciousness. And it's something that I'm still learning and figuring it out and kind of integrating into my healing. I just know that it works. It's really crazy. I can't yet explain to you. I just recently got, I became a practitioner not so long ago, and I'm doing it on myself. I'm doing it on other people. And it just transforms. It just allows them to relax. It allows them to not live in so much chaos. Because when I went to do my bars, I was going through a very traumatic experience, something that could have broken any person. And I knew that my head was heavy. And I told my friend, hey, can you please, you know, do something. And in that moment, I told her, can do a limpia, do something. I don't know. I need something. And she said, I'll run the bars for you. I didn't know what it was. I knew that I was no longer, after that session, I was no longer aligned with drama, with chaos, and with sufrida me, for the poor me mentality. And believe me when I tell you, I had a battled with that for years, something that was subconsciously embedded in my mind that it didn't matter what I did, what modalities I did, it wouldn't leave my patterns of behavior. And with only one session, I was able to just break from that pattern and continue to live in the question. Because in Access, they tell you always be in the question. An example, if I stay in this job, if I continue to be in this job, will my life be grandiose in 5 years? Or will I become the person that I want to become in 5 years? And not to get that question answered, because the answer will just, it'll feel light, it'll feel heavy, and you'll know. And when you stay, when you maintain yourself in the question, the answer will inevitably come to you. And so that's what I've learned through bars and access, that stay in the question, always stay in the question. Don't align with the beliefs that people have about you. An example, right? I had this belief that being undocumented, I couldn't do this, that, or the other. I put limitations on myself. And in access, they tell you, you are an infinite being that is able to do anything with no limitations. And obviously, coming from a person that was undocumented and that was told, you can't travel, you can't go to this school, you can't do this, you can't work. That was in my chip from ever since I was a little girl. So how do you reprogram? So I'm very grateful that I you know, got the opportunity to learn about bars last year, and like every day it's like a new beginning, because they tell us to destroy and unbelieve the reality that you've created of limitations. And to me, that's like, wow, every day I'm destroying the beliefs that I was embedded through me, through society, through my parents, through my family, through my lineage. And I am now recreating from a limitless space, from expansion, from love, from not aligning myself to different beliefs that really weren't where were intended for me as an infinite being.
Yeah, I love that. In the way it looks when you're doing a bars session, mm-hmm. You're primarily working with the head, the yeah. person's head. And yeah. it involve touch, or is it more like yeah. energy?
It's a light touch in your head, no pressure whatsoever. And then I first obviously start the session by pulling the energy from source. And then from there, I'm able to lightly tap from different places in your head. Like I said, it's just a tap. It's
okay.
No pressure. And then
is it like sacrocranial?
I'm not sure what that is. I haven't heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I've received sacrocranial work before, and it involves very light touch points on the head, and they also do different points throughout the body, but primarily on the head. So
maybe it is, because it sounds like it sounds like it is. Yeah, because they have different things.
It sounds amazing the way you, I need to look into that. And it's spelled B-A-R-S, bars?
B-A-R-S, yes, bars of consciousness. And there's a website, and then you can actually, it's worldwide. So in any part of the world that you are located, you just go to bars of consciousness website, and then you can look for a practitioner close to you. I totally recommend.
I love that. I'm definitely going to look it up. And it's in person.
Yeah, like, it's in person. That modality, you cannot distance. Do a distance.
Okay. Yeah. Not like Reiki or other energy work. Okay. And then you also mentioned access. Is that a different modality?
Or no. It's the same. Yeah. A lot of people know it through access. Other people like the bars of consciousness. It's different. So access is like access, like the actual organization, and then there's like bars, there's facelift, there is foundation, there's like different other, you know, modalities and different things that they do with access.
I love that. I'm definitely gonna look it up. And then I wanted to go back to your introduction. You talked about self-love and healing, and I know your Instagram handle is healing through self-love. And so can you talk a little bit about how, when it comes to the work that you do and the work that you do with others, how does that manifest? Well, how does it, that the concept of self-love, how is it that it's brought into your the work that you do, and how does it look like in a tangible way?
Yeah, so the reason why I started and why I focus on that is because everything, like I said, derives from self-love. And there's a very specific foundation that I've learned throughout these 20 years that I've been working with this, which I've created my coaching through all the workshops and all the things that I've done, is that I don't care what other things, like manifest money. It doesn't matter what, like external, if you don't have the basics down, it doesn't matter how much money you have if you're not healthy. It doesn't matter how much, you know, money you have or things you have, if you don't have good relationship with others, you don't build genuine relationships, you have patterns of behavior, they continue to keep you in the lack. And so I created this because from that foundation of the work that I do is that you are able to now manifest anything you desire, but it's doing the work. And doing the work is what is sometimes hard for people. Like the first thing I tell people on a coaching call with me is like, the first task that you're going to do is you're going to, for a week, drink a half a gallon of water every single day. And from there, well, no, but I want, you know, all your coaching. No, we are going to start with water because water hydrates you. A lot of the, you know, situations like health conditions derive from dehydration. You know, a dehydrated body is linked to a lot of these health conditions that we currently face here in the United States and around the world. So if only we would drink water, we wouldn't be dehydrated, you know, and then we wouldn't have these conditions because nobody can function from an unhealthy body. So you need high vibrational water, which, like I said, I also promote a lot, and then also food. So if you're eating, you know, everything that it's full of, you know, all the things that you shouldn't be eating, and you're not eating high vibrational foods, how do you suppose you're going to think clearly? And if you don't move your body and you don't, you know, stretch, just stretch. I'm not even talking about working out, just stretching. How are you able to conquer your day-to-day life? And so that's the first task I have people do with me. It's like those three things. Even if you go around your neighborhood and walk for 10 minutes, that is enough, and stretch. Because as we get older, our body is not as flexible. And that's when you have all these other conditions that people are like, oh, I can't move, or my back, or this or that. And your body tells you, your body's very, 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 very smart. And it's like a motherboard. And when the motherboard is like having some issues, you can tell your body's going to hurt. Something's going to happen. And so some people live in the day-to-day life in chaos, in like running around, you know, with the children, with work, with this, with that, with all the responsibilities, that they have no time to hear their body, listen to themselves. And so in order for me to kind of push that, I tell them, we're going to start with these three things. And from there, we start all the rest of the work. And that's when things happen, or inner child work happens. Where did you learn the definition of love when you were a child? What do you think love is? How does it look like for you? What kind of loving relationships do you currently have? And from there, you really understand why you are currently living where you are living. And it's a never-ending process. I currently went through something not so long ago that had to do with my inner child.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, thank you for sharing that. And those are reminders that we all need, you know, because like you said, we get busy, we have so much to do during the day that we forget to tend to the most basic needs of our body, which is water, nutrition, and movement.
Yes.
So absolutely. So I love it that that's where you start. That's where you start with your clients. And when it comes to with self-love, and what has been your journey with self-love? How have you come to this place where you fundamentally believe that this is what we need, this is what we all need? How has this manifested in your life?
I want to say that I've always been a very romantic child. I always fell in love when I was a kid. I imagine my life with my partner, with children, you know, just being in a loving relationship, because I didn't see that growing up. So I yearned for it. I was kind of like desperate for love. And I looked for love in every single place you can possibly think of. And I had a lot of failed relationships because of it, because I wanted the other person to love the parts of me that I didn't love about myself. And so I think through that, through wanting another person to love me, or to find my ideal partner, or to find the love of my life, who I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, and be in this romantic. I always had a vision in my mind that I was going to get married at 25, have two kids, boy and a girl, by 30, my husband and I were going to travel the world. None of that happened. And it's because I learned how to have a relationship through the dynamic that I saw for my parents, which wasn't a very healthy one. And eventually I repeated that pattern. And I came to the realization, it's because of love, when you don't love yourself, when you don't know what love is, when you can't even describe it, what it looks for you, because I just wanted everything that I saw on social media, the flowers, the this, the that, the other, but nobody ever told me what it looked like, what I had to do, how I had to show up for myself and for my partner. I just assumed that it was a given. You're just going to fall in love with the person, then the person's going to give you exactly what you want. And that's it. There's no effort. There's no work. There's absolutely nothing. And was I so wrong? I was so wrong. But nobody ever taught me that in relationships, you need to talk. There needs to be communication. You need to express. But I didn't even know how to express myself. I was never allowed as a child to even choose my own clothes, to even choose what I wanted to eat. So when I had a partner, something very simple as to where do you want to go eat? And it was a fight for 30 minutes until, you know, he asked me, like, why is it such a struggle for you to choose where you want to eat? I'm just asking you, what you're in the mood for? And the only thing you can respond is whatever you want. But then obviously through conversations, it's like, well, growing up, my dad never allowed us to choose. You would eat what you were given and you would shut your mouth and that's it. You were never allowed to say, I want this, because it was a privilege that we didn't have as children, or at least in my family. And so obviously you grow up and it's a huge issue because he always knows what he wants. He's very vocal. He knows how to express himself. And so I'm like, man, it's not about just love. It's about self-love, where it all starts and stems from, and understanding the definition and what it looks like for you and how you show up. Because then when you come to with another person and you're together, then it's another thing that you have to figure out, how to merge those two together. And so I think that from my desire of wanting a life partner, a healthy one, a one where I would grow with, a one where I would grow old with, where I build my business, where I will build an empire with, it required a lot of self-love from my end. Mm-hmm. And that's why that work started from that, is because of this need of being loved and having the ideal partner.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you for sharing your story. And I think that absolutely for so many folks, especially with trauma and wounding in childhood, there is that. I hear that a lot from my clients, that they can't even answer that simple question. What do you want to eat? They really don't know, because that sense of freedom and having a choice, that being able to decide something as simple as that, is a lot of pressure for our nervous system.
Yeah. Obviously, knowing that, you know, you can do things to allow yourself to hold up space and say, this is what I want, and not feel guilty, you know. Mm. But it takes time. It took me years to be able to say, I want to have this for lunch, without feeling guilty that the other person might not want to have that. And so now he's not going to love me because I chose incorrectly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how some relationships can be very healing, right? You had a partner that encouraged, that asked you, why is this so hard for you? And then that led to you to, you know, for you to ask yourself and self-inquiry and explore that. But so I think relationships can really point to our vulnerabilities, our traumas, our wounding. And if we have that awareness, we can really, it can be a doorway to our healing.
Absolutely. I truly believe that the most amount of work that I've been able to do is with my husband, because him and I come from two different homes. One, my home was a lack of love. And in his home and in his life, his experience, there was a lot of love. But in both, when we come together and when we share our experiences, we're able to receive each other's medicine. And only through when you're ready to receive the other person's medicine, could you be pleasantly surprised that your life can completely change. The thing is that when our partner asks us questions that triggered us, the first thing we do is we put up our bars. Going back to bars of consciousness, in bars of consciousness, they tell us, lower down your bars, put them down, allow yourself to listen to what the other person has to say. Not to buy into their point of view, but rather to see what, how it can relate to your own experience and how that can help you grow as a person. So obviously now I understand that my husband never wanted to attack me. And it wasn't that he wanted to be in conflict with me about me not knowing what to eat, but it, he generally didn't understand why I didn't know what to wear ever, why I didn't know what to eat ever. And so from there, obviously you have a patient partner that listens, that takes things in and can actually help you. It's so magical. It's so healing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing about your relationship. I know that's a personal topic, but I think so many folks deal with this. So I think our listeners will really appreciate your story on this. Yeah. And so let's go back to the work that you do as a transformational coach. Do you work primarily one-on-one, or how is it that you share your medicine?
I do one-on-ones. Those are the ones that I prefer because everybody's experience is different and you can't really custom make a work like one particular thing that's for a group. It has to be very personalized. So I love working one-on-one. I do workshops to heal your inner child, just to connect with your inner child. Just really, I've understood through the work that I've recently done in the last 6 months that people want to be seen and heard. And so now I'm more open to doing workshops. And then from there, whoever's ready and decides to work one-on-one, then I'm definitely open, but yes, I'm now more open to doing workshops.
Oh, I love that. With inner child work, how do you work with folks from that perspective?
So I recently did a very powerful workshop with Latinx therapy with Adriana. And so what I did was I did a picture frame, which I actually have it here with me if you would like for me to show it. But it's a picture frame that you will different words that described you as a child, and you will use your left hand to write those words. And some words are going to be harder to write than others. But really, when you just get into the meditation, because I do a quick little meditation, you just start writing words that you don't even remember. But through that meditation, you're able to write it down. And some have been very dark, like you're stupid, you're this, you're that. And so from there, we alchemize and we have them do another one through now a more conscious space. Like not, I don't ever want to say, oh, you're going to heal from that, but you're going to get those words and you're going to alchemize and you're going to integrate it into your story with a different meaning. And so from there, like reconnecting with your inner child, because a lot of the challenges that we face currently is because of that wounded child. And so I work through like meditation, water, I incorporate water, the water memory. I incorporate, like I said, like different activities that require you to actually write, that actually involved you. And then like asking yourself, like, where does it hurt? Because some people would start writing and they're like, but my hand hurts, it's super heavy. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're having a lot of resistance, breathe through the discomfort and know that you are safe currently. So it's customized to the energy of the group, to how it really plays out. But I do a lot of those things, like artsy things that require your hands, but it's very powerful. It's very beautiful.
Absolutely. I love that. And with water, how do you incorporate water? So I know you mentioned you encourage your clients to drink more water. But beyond that, how do you use that water element as a form of healing?
Yeah. So I always give my participants a gallon of water for them because number one, you're going to move a lot of energy through the session. So you're going to be really dehydrated. And in order to pull all of that water, all of that toxins out, you need water, high vibrational water. My water is very specific. It's from my machine from Japan and it hydrates you at a cellular level. And so that water will allow you to not only be hydrated, but avoid headaches. Because what I had experienced throughout the years that I've done healing work is that when I would leave a workshop, my head would hurt and I couldn't understand why. And it's because of this dehydration, we're moving a lot of energy. Also, I have them get a glass of water and put it, you know, I provide a glass and then they'll put their water and they'll put the intention. in the water. The water will shape into whatever it is that it needs to shape into. So when you're breathing life into your water, you're actually making their like the crystals of the water in a very beautiful way. And there's even a book that talks about it, The Secrets Behind Water, I think it's called, and this experiment, social experiment with water. And I use it in my workshops where, you know, people get their glass of water and they're like, okay, well, now that we're out of our meditation, what do you want this water to do when it comes into your body? Well, I want love and I want acceptance and I want radiation of like love and this and that. And so I'm like, okay, well, speak it into the water, speak it into existence. May this water heal me as it goes into my body and flush out any negative thinkings that I have about myself. So I incorporate water through that way. And so I always tell people moving forward, write messages in your, you know, your bottle, write messages in your gallon, you know, speak life into your water before drinking your water. So I absolutely love water. Water element is one of my favorites.
I love that. Thank you. Those are really good strategies and very practical. Yes. So thank you for that. And how can the folks find you? You know, for folks that would love to get to know more about you and the work that you do, can you tell us where you work at? What part of California you're out of, and yes, how can they connect with you?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm in the Downey area, Downey, California, but I also do work in Las Vegas, Nevada. So I do work in both areas, which I absolutely love. And so you can book a session either if you're like in the LA County area or Las Vegas. You can find me on social media at Healing Through Self-Love in IG. And then I do have a podcast on YouTube podcast, Mayeli Mendoza, my name, and then Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as Healing Through Self-Love.
Love that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For sharing your wisdom, your story with us. And yeah, thank you. Thank you again. And I would love to, maybe next time we can talk more, a specific strategy that you mentioned with bars or any more, you know. I know you also do EFT. So maybe next time we can talk. We didn't even talk about EFT.
No worries. I would love to even invite you if you're open to it. I would love to gift you a free set of bars.
Oh, thank you so much. I would love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope that you found it healing and nourishing to your mind and soul. If there's a friend that you think would benefit from listening to this information, please share it. Share about our podcast. If you feel called to, please leave us a review, as this really, really helps boost our presence here in Apple Podcasts, and it makes it easier for others to find us. To stay up to date on new episode releases and special events and projects that I'm working on, you can follow us on Instagram at Inner Healing Paths Podcast. And you can subscribe to my newsletter by going to my website, which is rosashettilcsw.com. And I will include this information and links in the show notes. Once again, thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to sharing with you again next time.